Welcome to a, I believe, a first, a joint meeting between the Derry Township Board of Supervisors and the Hummelstown Borough Council. If I can ask at this time, we each rise and for the pledge of allegiance. I want to thank all of you for attending this meeting. It was obviously set up rather rapidly, but as circumstances created the need and the urgency, we felt it was very important. And this group of elected officials has decided that this meeting was very necessary. For the purposes of this meeting, I want to advise everyone attending that it is and has been the policy to tape record all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. We do have a stenographer, and it is being recorded, again, just for the purposes of minutes. At this point, I'm going to introduce Dee Van Gabry with the Hummelstown Borough Council.
Good evening, and thank you very much, John. As John mentioned, I'm honored to serve on Hummelstown Borough Council, and I also chair our Emergency Preparedness Oversight Committee in Hummelstown. On behalf of Hummelstown residents and Hummelstown Borough officials, I would just like to thank John Foley and Derry Township for hosting this meeting this evening. We've had several meetings together over the last few months, and it is wonderful to have such a supportive neighbor in Derry Township, as well as all the interested and concerned entities in this room. This is a great example of communities working together for the good of residents, businesses, and visitors in central Pennsylvania. There's a lot I could say about this very serious proposal that M&H Railroad has made to relocate their interchange from Middletown to Hummelstown. But since I just drove back from Camp Hill on 322 East, I ask that you all sit back for just a minute and visualize this scenario. You're driving home to Hershey from a soccer game on 322 East. You're following a tractor trailer who's going 60 miles an hour. That tractor trailer driver is reading a text on his phone from his wife. As we all know, he shouldn't be. He fails to see the railroad crossing signs or the man in the middle of the highway flagging down traffic to stop. The tractor trailer plows through several cars before colliding with a tanker car on 322 full of chlorine gas. What do we do next? How do we evacuate residents, businesses, and the vehicles stopped on 322? How do we get necessary emergency equipment into Hummelstown or Derry Township, for that matter, from Dauphin County? These are the what-ifs that we have recently had to consider. It is not as simple as just allowing a train across 322. I could go on and on with hundreds of scenarios. But I'll turn it back over to John. I also want to mention there are several of my colleagues here this evening on the stage and also throughout the crowd. And I just want to thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Dee. And I failed to mention, to my right is my colleagues on the board, and I appreciate their attendance here and everyone's work with this. In addition, we have a number of elected officials, if you will, from the county and the state government. At my extreme right, I'll start at the far end, George Connor, Dauphin County Community Economic Development. Next in is Tim Reardon, Tri-County Regional Planning Commission, their Executive Director. Next is Steve Liphart, Dauphin County's EMA Director. Next is Representative Tom Mahaffey. I'm sorry, I knew he was there. I just didn't want to make sure I had the right face. And representing our district here, actually all of the affected districts. And then Chuck Erdman with Senator DeSanto's office. So thank you and welcome to Derry Township and again in this unique meeting. In the first week in April, both Hummelstown and Derry Township learned through news media of the pending, of the application that had been submitted to the governor's office for funding. And shortly thereafter, we learned of a recommendation at that time from the Dauphin County Planning Commission that was issued back in January. Within a matter of 2-3 weeks, this group had gathered together with a number of stakeholders to look at different scenarios that that could potentially happen, and what risks and exposures we thought there were, both to our residents and our business community and those folks traveling in and out of our communities. After the award of the grant, we gathered yet again, and we received a presentation from Lieutenant Roach, Derry Township DMA Director, in collaboration with Sergeant Hess from Homestown Borough and their Deputy DMA Director. And we were looking at what the things were that could potentially impact us and how they would affect all the stakeholders. And fortunately for us, the stakeholders were equally surprised and alarmed by this. So without going into much more detail with kind of the chronology, the bottom line is we found out about this very late in the game. This has progressed much, much more rapidly, I think, than any of us had anticipated or wanted. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Lieutenant Tim Roach of Derry Township. And Tim will walk us through the overview of what is being proposed and how that may impact us. Lieutenant Roach.
While we're waiting for the PowerPoint, there are a few seats in the front for those who are standing. Feel free to come and sit down. It's a long meeting, standing.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. I had a little bit of a nervous moment there. I thought the PowerPoint was going to grasp before I gave my speech. So I'm a little nervous about that. Also a little upset, too. I asked the township manager if we could have an opening act. I don't like being on the main stage. It's hoping to be convenient or some type of opening act to soften up the crowd. He said, budget constraints, it's not happening. So I'm going to go quickly through some information that we gathered over the last month and a half regarding the Middletown and Homestown Railroad. And some of you might have heard referred to as the Milk and Honey Line. But their proposal to utilize some of the tracks that have been dormant for years between four jurisdictions is very concerning. It's very alarming. And we're just going to go through that couple slides here. There are copies of the slides at the beginning of the opening of the auditorium here. There's also copies of the grant application that we were able to secure that M&H Railroad has submitted to the Department of Transportation. This is an overview of the four jurisdictions that are in question right now. Obviously, primarily the two jurisdictions that we're concerned about are ours and Humbletown Boroughs. Middletown, Humbletown Railroad is approximately 6 miles in length. And it runs through Middletown Borough, through Lower Sumerian Township, progresses north into Derry Township, crossing 322 and into Humbletown Borough, where it links up with the North Oak Southern Line. M&H Railroad is actually headquartered in the very southern portion of Middletown Borough, adjacent to the Royalton jurisdiction. And again, that's about 6 miles in length. Spans about a little less than 6 miles. Their two main focuses of their business is freight and passenger service. Despite 6 miles, they still run those two operations. And this is their headquarters, and this is their warehousing area in Middletown. And as you can see, there's a combination of both road networks and rail networks in that area. Basically, what they do is a lot of what's called transload operation and warehousing operation. They will store different commodities from other rail lines, from Amtrak and from Norfolk Southern. They will store that pending transfer to another rail line. They'll also store, and we often see them sometimes, we'll see the tractor trailers in the back of a rail bed. They will store that in their warehouse area. The second function of their business deals with passenger experience. And this is mainly purely historical excursions and also entertainment excursions. Throughout the year, Christmas time, Easter, as you see coming up here in the summer, they'll run very short lines, a couple miles, from Middletown area up to Lower Sumerian and back. They'll do a Santa Claus train and Easter train and so forth. And that's mainly the two components of their business. And as I said at the beginning of my presentation, for the most part, The areas of their lawn are 2 miles stretch between Homestown Borough and Derry Township. Past several years have been they've been dormant. There has not been any, with the exception of a transfer to the PCNL station in Derry Township, there really has been no activity on those lines. Again, this is an overview, a map overview of the areas in question. Homestown Borough, as you can see, is orientated using the rail line. Coming up from Lower Swidera Township to the bottom portion of this map, go across Swidera Creek, progress north through Derry Township, crossing State Route 322, which we all are aware of, it's a four-lane limited access highway. As it progresses into Homestown Borough, it traverses through all this residential area. This is densely populated residential area, single-family homes, duplexes, apartment complexes. And so it ties in with a parallel line on the northwest, southern, east-west corridor. This is an overview of the four-lane crossing, the four-lane highway, and the State Route 322. This spur to the right-hand side of the map actually is an extension of the Middletown-Homestown Railroad. That spurs off to the PKML station, substation on Builders Upper Road between Homestown Borough and Derry Township. Again, we continue north into the borough and adjacent to the residential district. This is continuing. This actually depicts the Y and the rail line. It's actually interesting that vegetation that has a spur of rail line. And the other spur on this Y channels that way and runs parallel along the North Coast Southern Track. Each of these X's represent the crossings, total number of crossings in both Derry Township and Homestown Borough. There are 6 total crossings. First one being 322, Derry Township, Homestown Borough line. And then the remaining 5 crossings are all in Homestown Borough. This is State Route 322 westbound, 55 mile per hour posted speed limit. Now we're traversing, we're going in the direction of Swidera Township, Harrisburg, towards Hopkins, and as you can see, the rail crossing there. This is actually coming in from Swidera Township, again, 55 miles per hour as you cross under the Phillips Level Road Bridge. Between that point of that bridge, where you're at right now, until a railroad crossing is about 3/10 of a mile. Again, 55 miles per hour speed limit as you approach. Very limited advance notice of a rail crossing. There are no stop bars. Crossing gates, there's one yellow sign there, and as you approach the crossing, there are some additional lighted signs, but again, there are no crossing gates. Second crossing is in Homestown Borough, which is obviously a strictly residential area. No crossing gates, truly no advance warning. Third crossing is at Birch Lane and South View Street. It might be difficult for you to see. We're right there. A young man who just got out of middle school. Okay. You might find it surprising, but that young man had a set of earphones in, and he was looking down at electronics. His backpack on, his hood pulled up, walking with his head down, listening to something on his electronic device, and humming through it. Okay. He's on the rail bed. Right through here, not a custom. The folks or the trains on that rail bed. Secondly, I question, what are you even hearing? Okay. This is a middle school age student, so probably given my brief contact with him, he's probably 7th to 8th grade. I'm not sure that he would even actually heard a train. But this kid probably every day walks that track. It's crossing here, again, need no straight, there are no crossing gates, there are no stop signs. This crossing is limited to this white sign, which is pretty antiquated. Railroad crossing notice, and that's on both sides of the road. If you have the opportunity to stand here in front of this gray Volkswagen and look down that line, as a rail car, particularly a tanker car, the width of a tanker car, you could probably reach out in a lot of those homes that are along that track. You could probably reach out the window and touch that car as it goes by. That's how close that rail line is to those residential areas, that residential area. Main Street in Homestown Borough, 25 miles per hour. There are a little bit more markings than the other crossings. Again, we see no stop bars. We see the old signs there, the old white post signs. And that's the limit of that advance notice of that crossing. Finally, this is the railroad street crossing on the north end of Homestown Borough. This is the only crossing that stops by crossing gates. And the reason for that is because, as you can see right here, the three lines. This line is owned by Middletown Homestown Railroad. The other two lines are Norfolk Southern. That's a critical area where Middletown Homestown Railroad wants to tie in and run parallel with the Norfolk Southern line. And that's what we're hoping to do, interchange of cargo and commodities. What we know so far about the Middletown-Homestown project, they have applied for almost the $220,000 grant through the governor's office, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, for rail bed improvement. They want to improve the lines. That grant is limited to the actual rail line itself. Does not apply to crossing the advance notice for motorists. Okay? It's just for the actual rail bed itself, the rail lines, and to improve tracks so they can move larger commodity, heavier commodity, and move them more frequently. The second thing they can do, and there's a valuable amount of money through my research, PennDOT, through the Federal Railroad Administration, has a valuable amount of money for rail companies to obtain grants to improve those crossings. The money is out there to go ahead and put those crossing gates up and give more advance notice. Okay? So it's not a question if MNH can afford it. More than likely, they are going to be able to accept money from PennDOT for those rail improvements. This is very important right now. If you sit here tonight, the MNH Railroad has authorization from the Pennsylvania Utility Commission to move rail cars on that stretch of line and across State Route 322 and across Main Street of the borough and all those other side streets no more than 12 times a year. And they have that authorization. It's documented. It's binding agreement. They can do that 12 times a year. The best of my knowledge, the last time they moved on those lines was 2014, and they moved once. And that was to bring equipment into the PennDOT facility. Or I'm sorry, the PPNL facility. Otherwise, they have not used that line in some time. If they do use that line, and they already make crossings across 322 of those other roadways, they are required by law to have at least two flagmen present. Those flagmen have to go out and stop traffic manually, ensure that traffic is completely stopped, and then they are permitted to radio to the train to go ahead and make movement. That's their limit right now. Through things that representatives of MNH Railroad said, and through researching their grant application, their intent is to potentially move upwards of over 360 lines throughout the year. Back and forth to Norfolk Southern in Homestown Borough, and back down to Middletown Borough. At least 360 times a year. We're all aware of at least one today. We don't know if that stops. We don't know if that's their limit or if they want to go higher. The other thing we don't know is how many cars are they going to move at a single time. Could be 5, could be 50. What we do know from their grant application, copies are available, that they were asked in the grant if any hazardous materials are going to be moved across that line. And their answer on their grant application said yes, upwards of 99% of our cars will contain hazardous material. So we're not talking about the passenger excursions with Santa Claus. They also were asked in that grant application, which type of commodity, who are you going to be moving commodity for on your freight line? The answer was Univar Corporation. And Univar Corporation is headquartered, or not headquartered, based in Middletown Borough, very close to the M&H line, and they're in the chemical business. And specifically, they're in the chlorine business. They move liquid chemicals and solid chemicals across this rail line. Remind everybody back in 2006, unfortunately in Erie Township, we had a chemical car spill. And the car tipped over, it was a derailment. Luckily, the valves were not compromised. We didn't have any chlorine release. Okay? But we ourselves, over 10 years ago, experienced that in Erie Township off of Dairy Road. This is the commodity that they want to move on this line according to their grant application. As Mr. Foley said at the introduction, we learned last week that the governor's office has awarded that grant. As noted in this excerpt from the Central Penn Business Journal, $220,500 was awarded to the M&H Railroad to rehabilitate about 5 miles of track. They have 5.6 miles. They're going to rehabilitate about 90% of their track. There's also a misnomer in this article that indicates an estimated 375 jobs will be created. Do not get confused, because on the grant application that they submitted to the governor's office, it asked specifically how many jobs will be created with the awarding of this grant, and they annotate two jobs. Don't get confused with this article that 375 jobs are being created. Local concerns are obvious. We're all aware of the motor vehicle traffic, both on Main Street and Homestown Borough. We're well versed in the motor vehicle traffic on State Route 322. Speed limit, as I stated, is 55 miles per hour. I demonstrate and illustrate to you that curve that comes out of Square Township. You come underneath the Federal Double Bridge, you make a turn, and boom, the railroad tracks right there. You close on that railroad tracks at 60 miles an hour in a matter of seconds. We're all aware, too, of our summer traffic, and even our winter traffic. Okay. Now we're talking about volume, we're talking about speed, we're talking about the site distance to react to a crossing of that interchange on 322. If you take note, when you cross over a railroad crossing, at times you will see the crossbars with a railroad sign adjacent to the tracks will have a little sign that says exempt. Under state law, as mandated by Federal Department of Transportation regulations, every school bus, whether they have passengers or not, are required, those bus drivers are required to stop at a railroad crossing. It doesn't matter if it's school hours, it doesn't matter if they have students, it doesn't matter if they're on a field trip or they're taking students to school. They are required by law to stop at a railroad crossing. Hazardous material transport drivers, gasoline, liquids, anybody transporting hazardous material, regardless whether they're empty or they're hauling a commodity, is again required by law to stop at a railroad track. Commercial buses, if they have passengers on board, are required to stop as well. If you travel, the next time you travel on 322, you will see a sign that says exempt. The PUC has authorized, because of the limited amount of travel on that rail line, 12 a year or less, those drivers do not have to stop, it says exempt. I can assure you that the M&H is approved to run at least one rail line active a day across 322 and across Main Street, Homestown Borough. They're not to be exempt. we're looking at school buses, midday, they're rushed out at the height of our 322 occupancy of motor vehicles, having to stop, the traffic moving 60, 65, 70 miles per hour, having to come to a dead stop. The bag exempt status is taken away. From the public safety concern, well, first you have the center, Robert One Trauma Center, Children's Hospital, continuously, day after day after day after day, is taking inbound EMS patients west of our jurisdiction. Harrisburg, Ware Township, the West Shore, EMS crews are constantly transporting the Hershey Medical Center. We are not talking about a potential crossing the train, and you can argue what might be a matter of 40, 45 seconds. You can also argue, too, where that train gets stuck. What if it has mechanic issues? What if it's a blockage somewhere else on the line that doesn't really affect the train itself? The train can't move in other portions of their line, so where do they stall that? Along 322. What happens to that person that's in route to the Hershey Medical Center? Next concern is the isolation of public safety assets. For the most part, all the technical support assets for emergency incidents, I'm talking about hazardous material teams, hazardous material equipment, response equipment, SWAT equipment, specialized weapons, specialized tactics folks that come from other areas for a mutual aid response. Most, if not all, of those assets are located west of Erie Township and west of Hummelstown Borough. Those were located more centralized in the county towards Harrisburg. Again, we have a blockage on that rail line. Are we getting those technical assets into Erie Township? We have some of the largest employers in the mid-state. They're susceptible and vulnerable to the incidents that we see on TV every day. If we have to compete with train crossings to get the necessary assets and so support our local responders, we're in dire straits. Same thing applies for the folks that live on the west side of the tracks, Hummelstown Borough particularly. It's a crossing or a stoppage on those tracks, the Hummelstown Fire Department, Hummelstown Police Department is on the east side of those tracks. You don't have a lot of ability to circumvent it and get around to the west side of the borough. The argument can be the 322 is blocked and goes through Hummelstown Borough. Hummelstown Borough is blocked and goes through 322. The span between Main Street and State Route 322 along those tracks is very minimal. We're talking 2 or 3 tenths of a mile. High likelihood of a train stop is blocking multiple crossings. So we are isolating the folks on the west side of the borough, the west side of Erie Township, from any type of public safety assets. Now we have to rely on mutual aid support from Sawyer Township and some other municipalities west. Hershey Medical Center. They rely on critical staffing and have increased patient census. Suppose they have a mass casualty incident somewhere in Central Pennsylvania, they need to call staff in. Their critical staffing, which most of them are on call after hours, they're limited to the response if they live west of Erie Township, west of Hummelstown Borough, they're limited. And finally, the biggest concern here is, and I mentioned it earlier, the likelihood and potential that these rail cars will take the hazardous commodity through Hummelstown Borough next to those homes. Chlorine gas, other liquids, other chemicals coming from the Univar corporations. We traverse it daily through that residential district. The final major point that I want to make regarding our concerns locally is the disruption of our local services. Our public safety services are entertainment, healthcare, manufacturing. Again, Erie Township is home to some of the largest employers in the mid-state. We are disrupting the continuity of their service. I want to go back to the fact that I don't want to disparage MH Railroad. If you take a look at the amount of persons that these entities employ versus the two jobs that we created, I have to argue that we have to consider these folks as well. Should we point this out to you? That is an example of the exempt side that I was talking about. And I can see this is very difficult to see. just want to point out, what we did is we did two traffic studies. We did a volume and speed study on State Route 322. We have a device that we can set up. It's not known, it's not seen, it's public, it's concealed. But we did two studies, one in the eastbound lane and one in the westbound lane. We take the westbound lane, heading to Swear Township. Again, 55 mile per hour zone. This is almost a 48-hour study. We're looking at 48 hours. We're looking at maybe 47, 46 and a half hours, almost 2 days. And this is 2 weekdays. These were 2 weekdays, Monday and Wednesday. In that near 48-hour period, we had almost 48,000 cars just in two westbound lanes. The 85th percentile speed was 66 miles per hour. So folks are already, it's commonplace, folks are already traveling at least 10 miles over speed. The majority of folks are traveling at least 10 miles over speed. The highest recorded speed in that 48-hour, nearly 48-hour period was 95 miles per hour. I have some suspects, I'm not going to name them. But this is the printout. This gives us actual vehicle count. These are the speeds on the bottom. Okay. This is the volume of cars. And inside these graphs, it will tell you the amount of cars that travel at that speed. 95 was the highest, but I can assure you, if you look at the fine print of this study, these are all 80s right here. 80 miles per hour. That's not one or two cars. You'll see in that 48-hour period, you might see 22 cars, 82, 24 cars, 83, and so forth. The next study we did was in the eastbound lane. Again, 55 miles per hour. This is what we consider off-season. Okay? This study was about a 24-hour period, and we included a weekend day. So this went from Sunday, they just after lunch, to Monday. Again, this is our off season here in Erie Township for the Hollistown Borough. We saw, and that was just shy of 24-hour period, almost 19,000 vehicles. A Sunday, off season, into a Monday, 19,000 vehicles. Very similarly, we had 85th percentile speed of 65 miles per hour. Folks were already doing 10 miles over the speed limit. Highest speed in eastbound lanes of 89 miles per hour. And again, if you look closely at our graph, there's a lot of 80s, there's a lot of 70s. We look at 70s up in this area, 80s down in this area. We have a lot of traffic on 322 for us. Everybody knows that. I conclude this presentation with a thought process that we should all have. I know from Everything for Everyone's perspective, we're looking at economic development. They want progressive business models later. From my perspective, as Mr. Coleman said, one of my assignments here in the township on the emergency management floor here. Admittedly, I am the alarmist, and that's my job. You need some of those alarmists to say every day, what if? Are we ready? Are we trained? Do we have the assets? Are we protecting our people? I can tell you on the flip side, M&H Railroad might be the minimalist. Okay. We're not going to derail. We're not going to take up a lot of time. We're not going to have a lot of trains. Okay. But somewhere in the middle, you have to ask yourself, what is the risk and what is the value? I end a lot of my presentations about active shooters. And this has nothing to do with active shooters. Okay. But I always put this slide up. We are the sweetest place on earth. Not going to happen here. Our people aren't like that. But I do have the question, are we prepared? And is this in the best interest of the community to have this rail line from the north and south in these new jurisdictions? Sir, thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Again, a variety of the stakeholders have seen that once before, and following that presentation, we all concluded that this meeting that we're having tonight was in fact very, very necessary. At this point, I'd like to offer the folks up here from whether it's the borough or the township, the opportunity to share or offer any comments that they have. If I can start off to my left. Any Any comments? Okay. Am I right? Okay. With that, I can kind of go down through the row here. Mr. Connor?
Good evening, everyone. That's a great presentation, Officer Roach. I don't think there's anything, there's no question of why this shouldn't be done as a risk and health safety to everyone, all the residents here in Dauphin County, and we oppose the project 100%, and I don't think there's much to say about this. I mean, with the presentation, everything is said, and we're here to do whatever's possible to try to stop this project from happening.
Great, thank you. Mr. Reed.
Thank you, and again, it's great to see a turnout like this. As George said, I think we're all on board with the same end result, that this is something that is not a positive aspect for this area, the townships, or the impact on the parks. So I can tell you that Dauphin County Planning Commission in January had some different information, and just yesterday we sent a letter to Governor Wolf indicating our displeasure with the way the information was portrayed to us, and the record straight with our support has, we are totally against the hazardous waste, the number of trips that might be run across those lines. The infrastructure, sure, we can repair the infrastructure, but there's going to have to be a lot more conversation before any of these train trips or materials cross Route 322 or into Homestown Borough. So that the Dauphin County Planning Commission is not in support of Milltown Homestown application.
Thank you, Mr. Reard. Mr. Linhart, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to reiterate the comments from my two peers Dauphin County, and just kind of solidify the fact that I think initially there was some omissions and what the intention of their seeking out the grant was for. From a public safety standpoint, there's no way that I can recommend to the county or any municipality support the expansion as it's proposed in any kind of freight transfers over these essentially unused lines for reasons already stated. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that more than a month ago, Mr. Connor and I tried to at least have all the interested parties, representatives of Homestown Borough and Darien Township, sit down and at least express some of these same concerns to the railroad. I think everyone except the railroad was in agreement that we had expressed some genuine concerns, and they were doing the same as we did. Other than that,
thank you, sir. Representative Mahaffey.
Thank you, John. Good evening, everyone. This started a couple months for me ago. I had M&H representatives of M&H Railroad come in and visit my office when I first started as your state representative. And the first thing I said is, did you talk to Homestown Borough? In the past, and because of my relationship with most of the borough council and mayor, I knew this was a problem in the past, and I know it's a problem now. So I told them to reach out to Michael Keith, their manager. I think Mike, they reached out pretty quickly to you at that point in time. I've been in pretty much constant contact with at least somebody from Homestown and what is going on. This is a problem for the district. This isn't just Homestown and Derry Township. This runs through Middletown, Lower Soterra, and Soterra Township, which I represent all of. I also reached back to Representative Payne. We had a discussion about if he was ever contacted. He was never contacted on this issue. So there was no support, and I said this is about quality of life for everybody who lives here in the district and what this possibly could do. So there will be no support out of this office for this project, and going to move forward and continue to work with everybody involved in the situation. So, as I said, I think we should continue this conversation with even more of our friends in the district or other townships and boroughs, it's going to affect them too, because I really don't think they have the idea and are on top of it like we are, so we can move forward on that and keep going.
I should, if you want to keep going, and I'll, Mr. Erdman with Senator DeSanto's office.
And Senator DeSanto regrets that he was unable to attend tonight. He had another commitment. I will say that I guess I'm personally a stakeholder. I have children in the Lower Dauphin School District, so I travel 322 a lot myself every day. And like Representative Mahaffey, Senator DeSanto is new to the legislature, just took office in January, so we are just getting up to speed on some of the things that happened before we were in office, like this grant submission. And I think it's great that that Derry Township and Humbletown Borough have brought this issue to the forefront, and the work that their teams have done to put together these very serious public safety questions. And I can assure you that Senator DeSanto has those very same concerns about the project, and we are very much interested in hearing what the railroad, as Steve had indicated, might have to say, and then we hope some answers would be forthcoming from them at some point. But at this point, we have some very significant concerns about the project moving forward. So we will continue to monitor the situation, and as it moves through, as I think you'll recognize, this is probably just the beginning of the process, and as the PUC was mentioned, and there'll be, I'm sure, a series of hearings there. So we will stay engaged in the process as it goes forward here.
Thank you very much. Thank you, all of you. I should point out that in our last stakeholder meeting, we did have representatives from Lower Swatara Township, South Andover Township, and Swatara Township. So we did have representatives. I don't know if anyone from those municipalities are here. If you are, raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Appreciate you coming out. Next, I'd like to offer or open the floor to our stakeholders, and I'm going to say from our larger employers and business communities, I see Mr. Breckville ready to jump up. Please, come right up. Dr. Breckville with the Cushing Medical Center.
Good evening, everyone. I'm actually Alan Breckville.
Alan.
Out of position. I'm the executive director of the Medical Center, and Lieutenant Roche did a great job of summarizing the impact it will have on many, many different entities. For the medical center, we have close to 11,000 employees full and part-time for the College of Medicine Medical Center. They don't all commute from the west, but obviously a huge number do. This would be a major disruption in that. You did a good job of explaining that. I think it would be very helpful for people just to hear briefly about our emergency transport system. And there was some reference to that. Scott Akeley, who's responsible for emergency transport, can give you some better numbers in terms of the number of ambulances that cross there and the impact that can have. You know, we're a level one trauma center for both pediatric and adult. Patients come in urgent need of care, and having to cross that in an ambulance and having to be stopped could have dire consequences on our patients. And I just asked Scott to come up for just a couple of moments and kind of give you a little more description of the impact this could have in people in urgent need of care in our institution.
Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Good evening. To pretty much echo what Lieutenant Roche said, I mean, he pretty much hit the concerns that we have from an emergency medical service standpoint. Hit the nail on the head. Lifeline EMS provides primary 911 emergency service to several communities that are going to be impacted by this. Derry Township, Humbletown Borough, portion of South Hanover Township, Lower Swatara Township, and also Connellwater Township, which isn't directly affected, but gives you an idea of the area that we serve. In addition to that, we provide mutual aid assistance to the Borough of Palmyra, the Borough of Middletown in Dauphin County, and several other communities in Lebanon County as well. So we have a very vast 911 service. Not just the 911 calls that we have in our area, but I also speak for the surrounding EMS services. And from what we were able to pull together some numbers on the number of 911 patients who come to the Penn State Hershey Medical Center in a given day that use this route, we average about 20 patients a day, 911 patients, that are coming down this route. And we did that by data that we looked at in our emergency department as far as the EMS service that's delivering them. Community Life Team from Harrisburg City, West Shore EMS, various services from York County and Perry County and so forth. They all use this route to transverse to get to the Med Center. From that, we're estimating approximately another 10 to 15 level 1 trauma patients that come into the medical center as well in a given week, also transverse this route as well. In addition to the impact of the 911 patients, there's also the impact of non-emergency patients. The Med Center has a very, very vast services that we deliver for patients that have various appointments, radiology appointments, oncology appointments, regular physician appointments, and so forth. A good number of these patients come by ambulance transportation, wheelchair van, and so forth. In addition to the EMS impact, there's also the impact of those patients coming to the Med Center in their privately owned vehicles as well. So if you can imagine, you have a doctor's appointment and you have to get there at a certain time, and now you're running late because you're stuck at a railroad crossing. And if that's your oncology appointment for the day, whether you're getting chemotherapy treatment or radiation therapy or something like that, that's a big impact to your life and your health and well-being as well. Not just the transportation of patients to the medical center, but again, we enjoy a very good working relationship with our communities. We provide the 911 service, and we are also concerned from a safety standpoint of additional hazardous materials impact that this train route could have. If anything, the traffic accidents alone, because of the high speed change from, you know, as Lieutenant Rich said, 60 plus miles an hour down to zero, the number of crashes that we see in this area, recently PennDOT has come out with some information that the number is going up. We're also seeing the violence of the crash going up, and by that I mean the speed at which people are traveling. Cars are just absolutely destroyed in these crashes because of the forces, and that's resulting in higher number of trauma patients as well. So there's multiple aspects that we're concerned about from a public safety standpoint and the health and well-being as well. Getting the patients to the hospital, the additional potential for crashes, and also just more hazardous materials moving through our community. So that's why we wanted to come tonight and address this commission and speak to the community. We're very proud to be part of this community, and we have your health and safety at the foremost of our concern. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So just in conclusion, then, I would say that on behalf of both the Medical Center and College of Medicine, we do have grave concerns regarding this. And we could go much further, but I think we've given you enough information to let you know what those concerns are. So thanks.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming out. Anyone else from our stakeholders, school districts, getting waved off? Derry Township. Sherry's coming out from Logan.
Good evening, everyone. Sherry Smith, Superintendent Lord Austin. And I have a lot of concerns about this generally for the community. Obviously, in the Borough of Homestown, we're impacted greatly by that with our local neighborhoods. I have a lot of scares when it comes to our students, however, that are walking along those tracks and along our roads. If you would have an accident or something out on 322 and bring more traffic into the Borough of Homestown, you have a ton of people, my kids, that are walking through those streets, and believe it or not, we fear that every day now, much less adding to traffic within the borough. Secondly is, they all have electronics, so they're all gonna have their headphones on and they're gonna be walking and not paying attention to our kids. My concern is as well for our buses. When I'm looking at the fact that we push out over 50 full-size buses, plus an additional 20-some vans that are going to leave Lord Austin High School, Middle School, Nye Elementary, McPray School, and South Hanover Elementary, which are the ones that are generally impacted by these tracks. I've got to have them now stop at each one of those stops and before moving forward. I have a ton of the buses that go throughout 322 to deliver students to nonprofit places, to places of internships, to Dauphin County Technical School, to private schools on a regular basis. We're just one bus, one set of school buses that will be impacted. That we look at Derry Township buses and all the athletics and such that are hosted within the Derry Township and Lord Offen area. Just a significant impact of those school buses having now to stop on 322, much less within the borough. Plus, once you have a non-exempt status on tracks, then becomes the issue of having to transport students because it's a hazardous condition for them to cross those railroad tracks. And I don't think anybody's thought about the fact of how I'm going to get buses back those narrow roads or around there to pick my students up. It's going to be near impossible to do that. So it puts a huge liability on the district to how we're going to be able to get our students to school safely on a daily basis with this. So we obviously have just tons of concerns, and that's just scratching the surface of what my concerns are as a superintendent. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Derek Galley with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company. I'd just like to start by offering a word of thanks and appreciation to our local government leaders from Homestown and Derry Township, our emergency medical support and public safety officials for bringing a bright light to this very important issue, in addition to our friends from the county and state government, because this is concerning and this issue has traveled pretty quickly down the road without a lot of discussion, and I think that's somewhat purposeful because it's clear from the folks in the comments in this room so far, in addition to Lieutenant Hall's excellent presentation, that there are a lot of significant and grave concerns that arise from this proposal. As a company, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts is also very concerned about the negative impact this project could have on both residents, communities, patients at the Penn State Milton Hershey Medical Center, and of course, residents and guests alike. It's clear from MNH's request that any end result that is consistent with their desire for an unlimited train traffic across 322 could have dire consequences. We know from Lieutenant Hall's excellent presentation that the 322 is a vital and well-traveled thoroughfare that is already heavily taxed, and there's no doubt about it, especially when it comes to the summer season. And there's also no doubt that this proposal would have significant safety, transit, and public accessibility concerns and ramifications, not just for our two municipalities, but as folks have pointed out here tonight, for our entire region. That negative reality exists without even taking into consideration or contemplating the disastrous impact to our residents and our communities, our emergency response folks and facilities, and our businesses that would occur in the event of a train derailment. These realities, these negative impacts exist even without taking it to that level. And purely from an economic impact standpoint and position, from jobs to regional spending and guest spending, what stands to be lost as a result of this proposal far, far, far outweighs the perceived real or imagined benefit of opening this, that would occur as a result of opening this track and line to unlimited train travel. To give you somewhat of a basis and foundation, as a company, we employ 8,000 people during the height of our season. From a occupancy standpoint, the destination sees close to 6 million people over the course of the year. We also have more than 6,300 buses, commercial buses, travel to our destination during the course of the year, many of which would be traveling on 322. On average, we see and support 900,000 vehicles to our destination, many of which would be impacted by any stoppage or reduction of traffic flow on 322. Most importantly, though, as folks have raised tonight, the safety implications attached to this request. The potential for serious injury from train accidents, traffic incidents, mandatory stoppages from certain vehicles, including those carrying school children, and the impact on emergency medical services really offer the only rationale necessary to land soundly in opposition of this proposal. So in conclusion, we join our voices to the unanimity and opposition of the presented request. And we urge the Public Utility Commission and PennDOT to likewise do everything they can to prevent this request from becoming a reality.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Daly. Are there any other corporate or business entities that want to offer comments? Corporate or business entity, so come up.
So, and we're starting to get into smaller companies, and if that's the case, that's fine. I just want to let everybody know, we're going to try and stop this pretty hard at 8:10. We're a little bit over. So if, when we get to the public individual comments, if you hear things that are said that you were going to say, let's try not to repeat them, but come right up. Please state your name and address.
Kimberly Sports from the Echo Tavern.
Just jump right up.
Sorry, I don't know if anybody can hear me. But so I'm Kimberly Sports from Indian Echo Caverns, and of course, the Middletown-Humblestown Railroad directly impacts because it comes directly across our property. Now, it's interesting, we have a crossing on our property, which is they're trying to say they're going to take out now with this new train that we've been in business for 75 years, and it's that documented crossing has been there since the 1800s because they're trying to use strong arm techniques on us. But we've had very, and I come from a different perspective, business dealings with the Middletown-Humblestown Railroad. So I know how they've done things in the past when we used to sell combined tickets, and we no longer sell combined tickets because they stopped paying us. And the condition of their tracks. Because if the tracks run right through our property and across my cousin Paul's property, I would be happy to show anybody here some photographs of the tracks and the condition they're in and how they maintain them. It's really deplorable. In addition to that, there's one thing that I think is really interesting here that nobody's mentioned. The trestle bridge that crosses the Swatara Creek. Any hazardous waste spillage that would be from the creek almost our property, all the runoff is directly going to go right into the creek. And it would be a devastating impact not only on us and our communities, but also on the Chesapeake Bay watershed program, which we're all, you know, very, very concerned of.
Thank you so much. Any other businesses? Come right up, sir.
My name is Wendell Dillinger. I am the president of the Middletown-Humblestown Railroad. I know nobody asked us to be here, but I thought I would come anyway. And so I would like to make some comments about things that were said. For instance, it was said that you could, some of the houses along the railroad, you could reach out and touch the cars. Well, our right-of-way is 30 feet from the center of the track, so somebody would have to have a pretty long car to reach out 20 feet to touch the cars. Just one little comment. And then it was mentioned about the track that we would be using for connecting with Norfolk Southern, crossing Railroad Street. That is true, but the cars themselves, Norfolk Southern, would deliver to us west of Landis Street, and we would be delivering to them west of Landis Street, so we would not be operating the cars along their main line. They would be doing that, not us. It would be our track, but it's because Conrail tore it up and it had to be replaced. So, but we would not, unless it was some strange event, we would not be operating across Railroad Street. Now, as far as crossing 322 or through Humblestown 360 times a year, that's very unrealistic. We did ask years ago for unlimited crossings because we felt the PUC had no authority to restrict the number of crossings that we could make. Under the Interstate Commerce Act, and we are subject to the old Interstate Commerce Commission of the Surface Transportation Board, those things are not to be determined or regulated by the local commission. They are to be regulated by the federal government. So that's why we asked for it. In reality, we would probably be receiving cars or delivering cars to Norfolk Southern probably 3 days a week, 4 days at the most, more likely 2 or 3 days a week. Now, as far as 99% of our business being hazmat, no, our hazmat business is about 60% of our business. In the past, it had been up to 99, but right now it's about 60% of our business because we have plastic that we haul, which is not hazardous, which makes up about 40% of our business. And now they're mentioning, people seem to think that by our handling hazardous materials, that this was a hazard to the people in Humblestown. Our cars, our hazmat cars, at the present time, go through Hummelstown twice on every car getting to us. Norfolk Southern hauls the cars to Reading or Allentown from the west and then brings them back. And they bring them back to Harrisburg and then to Lancaster and then to us. So those cars are already going through Hummelstown two times. Now, Norfolk Southern runs a lot faster than we do, 30, 40, maybe 50 miles an hour. Our top speed, as regulated by the government, is 10 miles an hour. And from a practical standpoint, we usually run roughly 5 miles an hour, maybe 6 or 7 at times. But 10 miles an hour is our maximum speed limit. So you're not going to have hazardous materials that are going to be a danger like they are on Norfolk Southern, which is already going through Hummelstown many times a day. So I don't know how many hazmat cars they're running through Hummelstown a day, but I would guess it's more than 100 cars a day. That's just my guess. And then it was mentioned about a derailment. Well, yes, if a railroad train moving 50, 60 miles an hour has a derailment, yes, the cars may tip over. Going to the speed that we go, we've only had 2 derailments in 41 years. And in each case, nothing tipped over. The wheels, some of the wheels went on the ground, and that was it. But no danger to anybody because the cars did not come anywhere near close to tipping over. Now, it indicates in the grant, I guess, that this grant is to rebuild almost all of the M&H Railroad. I don't know where that came from. It's for replacing the third leg of the Y in Hummelstown, which Conrail tore up by mistake, and putting in a stub track for NS to deliver cars to us. The reason for the Y is that if we're bringing cars up from Middletown, we have to get a way of retrieving our locomotive. So the locomotive will go around the Y in order to go back to Middletown. So that's the reason for trying to complete the Y. Plus, once in a while, we have a car that needs to be turned around, and that will give us the ability to turn it around. Now, as far as blocking Route 322, I don't think we have ever blocked 322 for as long as a minute. At the present time, when we did cross the highway, even with the transformer and stuff, I don't think we blocked 322 for more than 30 seconds. I would say in the future, now our trains in the future could be anywhere from 2 or 3 cars, which is what we usually haul now, up to maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 cars. But again, the length of time we would be blocking Route 322 is probably not going to exceed 1 minute. 60 seconds, I would say, would be pretty much the maximum. We have to give 20 seconds notice with our flashing lights. That's a federal requirement, and then we can cross the highway. So you've got 20 seconds worth of notification to the public, and then whatever it takes us to cross, another 15 or 20 seconds to get across the crossing. Now, it was mentioned about cars going 60, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour on Route 322. It sounds to me like that's a good place for the police department to make some money giving some tickets out. I don't know why they permit cars to go that speed on Route 322. That's not our job. That's the police department's job, some police department. So the reason we're doing this is because Norfolk Southern has pretty much closed Enola Yard. It is used in a very, very limited way. And our cars, for the most part, come from the west. They go to either Reading or Allentown. Then they come back to Reading. Then they come back to Enola. Then they go to Lancaster, and then they come up to us. The delays are up to 2 weeks. It can be anywhere from 4 days to 2 weeks of delay for us to get our cars. Our customers are very unhappy at this. They have sometimes truck their stuff in because the rail cars are taking so long to get there. And then we've screamed to Norfolk Southern. The representative of Norfolk Southern that meets with us said they realize the problem. their railroad yard in Lancaster is too small. And therefore, they have to leave the cars sit at Enola until there's room in Lancaster for the cars, which they have to go to in order to get to us. So Norfolk Southern has told us, if you want better service, start getting your cars at Homestown. Not waiting for them to have to go through the Lancaster yard, which is way too small. They just built the yard too small. So they're not going to build it again, I'm sure. I mean, we've complained and complained and complained. Other people served out of that Lancaster yard have complained. It does no good. So that is the reason with our customers screaming because they can't get service. The lack of service is Norfolk Southern, and this is the only way they say that we can remedy it.
I appreciate you stepping forward and offering your thoughts on this.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone from general public? We will open it up. It's a little after 8 at this point. We're going to try and hold this to about 15 minutes maximum for public comment. And then we will conclude the meeting.
Good evening. Thank you very much for holding this for us this evening. My name is Brenda Parra. I own the property at 403 Birch Lane in Hummelstown. For point of reference, it is the last house heading west on the left-hand side before you go over the Birch Street crossing. My reason for standing tonight is not to repeat everything. I think everybody in this room agrees. But I do want to bring out the point that we've had problems with the M&H Railroad since I purchased the property in 2012. They are not good stewards of their property. And when I contact them, they tell me that they're just a bunch of old men trying to run a railroad. That's concerning for me because every year since 2012, I've had to contact them and ask them to come out and mow the rail line because it hasn't been mowed yet. I've been mowing my property twice a week right now. So it has not been mowed yet. My reason for bringing this to you is not because I'm complaining about them not mowing their property, but they're not good stewards of the property they have in the borough of Hummelstown. And that is concerning for me, because if indeed they are a bunch of old men running the railroad, as I am informed every year when I contact them and ask them to do this, how can we trust them to be good stewards of our safety? That's all I wanted to make as far as the point is tonight, but thank you very much again for having this meeting for us.
Thank you. I'm going to ask, just from a time perspective, if we can limit our comments to 2 minutes or less.
I'm Pete Durantine, I'm from 33 Telegram Street. The railroad runs right behind my house, and I just want to echo the last minute's comments about the railroad and its stewardship. But also, the railroads have changed, which the gentleman from the railroad did not fully explain. Railroads deal with intermodal changes, which means they bring boxes up, like at the Rutherford Yard, and change them. I think whatever their problem is has nothing to do with whether Norfolk Southern has a large yard somewhere. I think it has a problem with whether they have the money and finances to do intermodal instead of just trains. And I think that should be examined by this board as they proceed here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Barry Buck, 242 Quarry Road, Hummelstown. I heard about applications. I heard misrepresentations on applications. I am wondering if at the bottom of those applications, before signature, it said, these are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Maybe Mr. Mahaffey and your fellows up there would want to look into that. Perhaps there is some criminal activity afoot as far as the misrepresentations, tampering with public records, etc. So they seem desperate to get this done, and it seems like they just want to do whatever they need to do to risk our lives for their profit.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Teddy Buck. I live on 322 in Hummelstown. And something that has been brought up that I think really should be mentioned is the effects that we went through with TMI, and I won't go through all the details because everybody that's been here when it happened knows what happened and what they've been through. We've been through a great deal. So on the whole community, every community, North Square, Middletown, all of us have been through a great deal. It's physically, emotionally, and psychologically damaging and scarring to the people of this area. And to want us to sit back and say, again, nothing will ever happen here. It could possibly never happen. They said that about TMI and what happened. Do we really want to go through that again? One car, one accident, and we'll be the same thing all over again, or worse. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jeff Ross. I live in Middletown, and we got hit riding their tourism train 29 years ago. Truck came up, smacked it. They had lights on. Big train in the middle road, tractor trailer coming at us. It hit us. They said it would never happen.
Thank you. Glad you're okay. Glad you're able to make it back here. I don't know that thank you was a good thank you one for the team. Is there anyone else? Lieutenant Roach. Two minutes started when I said your name.
So I just want to go on the record, Mr. Chairman, to refute the comments offered by the president of the MNH Railroad. We have a copy of the grant that we submitted. Obviously, it was awarded, the governor awarded $220,000. This grant specifically states in their narrative, and I'll abbreviate, the MNH needs to rebuild the line Homestown between milepost 00 and 0.1. Upgrade portions of the track between milepost 0.0 and 5.25, and to repair track washout. So I have to go on the record and refute. This application clearly states in two locations, the second location on page 1 of 8 of the application, it says, intent is to upgrade the main line from the Homestown Interchange, where Norfolk Southern is located, to the Route 230 crossing in the borough of Middletown. That is their entire span of track. So I do have to refute the comment that is just isolated to the line Homestown. And finally, on page number 2 of the grant application, subsection 6, they ask, are hazardous materials being transported through the project area? The answer affixed on the application is yes. Continues in section 6.1, if hazardous materials are transported through the project area, enter comments explaining the type of materials. The response from the applicant is 99% of the car loadings that move over MNH Railroad are hazardous materials. Just want to go on the record.
Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Folks, we're at 8:15. I'm going to ask, we'll have two more folks speak if there is anyone desiring to. Okay.
Hi, Angela Durantine, another part of the other Durantine, 133 South Walnut. Everything we've heard here makes it sound like it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. But what I want to know from whoever, you guys, what do we do now? What can we, as private citizens, what can we do? Who should we be contacting? Who should we be talking to deal with that?
So our next steps, first and foremost, both the borough and the township will continue to work collaboratively to oppose this, especially with our other stakeholders and neighboring municipalities. I think it's pretty clear that we are in opposition to this. Our business community is in opposition to it. We're going to have to talk about whether or not we engage lobbyists to help us as government entities. In addition to that, what can you do as citizens and as business owners or operators? The PUC is going to be one of the approval processes in this. I think that we will have within the Derry Township and the Homestown Borough website, we will have their addresses. Obviously, we have our local representation here. They're aware of it, so I think they're hearing our community. Beyond that, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and the Governor's Office. This was something that we learned by luckily by accident. So it has momentum behind it somewhere. We're not really sure why at this point. I don't really care what my objective is, and I know the rest of these folks here locally are saying we're going to oppose this, and we're going to do whatever we need to do to protect our citizens and our schools and our visitors and our communities. It's just that simple. It's too important for us not to do this. So next steps: look at our websites. We will have addresses there for you to send information. We will undoubtedly continue to update you. I know that our board will continue to update you as we have our public meetings. I am seeing the nods of the head. The borough will do the same. And we will work hard to make sure that we're going to give it our best effort. One can't always guarantee that we're going to be successful at this, but we're going to give this the fight we need to give.
And we will be posting the audio on the Gary Township website. We'll get that to the Borough of Humblestown as well, and we'll make sure that we spread that news to everybody who wasn't here, or if you'd like to listen to any portions again, that audio will be posted so that everybody can be a part of tonight's presentation.
Okay. Mr. Mahaffey.
Thank you, John. I do have a meeting tomorrow with the governor. We have a District 8 meeting, and that will be one of the first things that I talk to him about and his staff about what is going on and what we heard tonight and relay the message, and I'll see where we go from there. I'll let you know, Scott.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Anything else from the Dairy Board members?
Just a quick thank you to the public for coming out on such short notice. This is terrific to see such great community support, and thanks to all the elected officials and administration from the county, borough, the township, the state. I appreciate your support, and we want to thank on behalf of all of us for all for coming tonight.
You stole all my thoughts. I won't do that. Not to my left, the borough.
Yes, I just want to thank everyone who came out this evening to repeat that. I also want to thank all our Humblestown residents who came over to our friends to the east of us. Thank you very much for hosting this meeting this evening. It was something that we determined on our last meeting that this would be something I think we should share with the public. And the presentation was excellent. And I saw some new graphics in there, so good job. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, Lieutenant Roach was the presenter. I want to thank him. And certainly, the direction of our two township manager, borough manager, Mr. Nagley and Mr. O'Keefe. So thank you for your continued leadership and assistance with our boards. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to conclude this meeting. I want to thank you for coming out and have a wonderful evening. Drive safe.